Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
1 Corinthians chapter 9 shows us 2 very significant factors in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. First, we see how pure he was. Pure in the sense that he had only one motive, to be holy in Christ and for Christ. He sought nothing for his personal gain. Second, Paul was also faithful. Faithful because he saw his commission from the Lord in the gospel as a kind of stewardship with which he had been entrusted. Listen to these verses in 1 Corinthians 9. For if I preach the gospel, I have no boast, for necessity is laid upon me. For woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I'm entrusted with a stewardship. To read words such as these cannot help but convict us, because we all become keenly aware of the impurity of our motives when we receive light from God's word. But rather than be discouraged, we should take heart. For in other of Paul's writings, he opens the door to how all of God's children can have such a pure living and such a faithful serving. In Galatians 2, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. And in this book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Francis Ball has joined us for this fellowship. Francis, if we miss the point of these 2 verses, there's no way that we're going to have any share in this kind of faithful and pure living that the apostle had, can we?
I'm very much impressed by these 2 verses, to be crucified with Christ and to be joined with the Lord as one spirit. So we really have a message here from the apostle Paul regarding the serving of the Lord in the way of preaching the gospel. And I think we'll find out in this portion that the gospel is not just a matter of being saved to go to heaven, but it's a matter of God's eternal economy, that is, preaching the full gospel in both aspects of its judicial redemption and its organic salvation through our whole life.
Yeah, really, the gospel that the apostle here has been entrusted with in this way of stewardship is the kind of gospel that brings all of the hearers, all of the believers, into the living the crucified life, fully one with Christ by being one spirit with him.
If we would be this way, we would be also pure, and we could also be faithful, because the life we have within us is both pure and faithful.
In the program yesterday, we were covering the first half of this chapter. Really, this is the portion that focuses on the matter of Paul's purity being manifested. He had to give this sort of a defense of his apostleship. And we'll have a little review in the first section today, Francis, with Witness Lee, but it was quite striking. There's no way that he could have spoken such words about himself, even if he were anything other than pure in his motive in the Lord.
That is a marvelous thing about the apostles' writings. They were not for personal gain, and even when he was accused of any kind of wrongdoing or any kind of impure motive, he was in a position, because of his purity, to defend his action and his words.
Well, I'm glad we get a chance to review this. It was a very striking point yesterday, and we'll begin the program today with this same point.
In the first half of this chapter, Paul was so pure. He was crucified with Christ, and he was one spirit with Christ. Because he's so pure, he had this boldness to say things, even concerning himself, so frankly, so strongly. Just like a surgeon, he has assurance that everything with him is pure. So he had the bone to cut. If a surgeon is not pure, is not clean, I tell you, when he cuts a patient, all his impureness will get into that cut. If Paul was impure, his impureness will be imparted into the Corinthians. But he was pure. So all the patients, the Corinthian believers, got the proper surgery. and they got healed. Now, in the second half of this chapter, we'll see his faithfulness from verse 16 through 27. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Necessity here means a burden that presses you. I don't care how you treat me. Why? Because my ministry is a necessity. If I don't do it, woe to me. I will suffer. See, this indicates his faithfulness. Then verse 17, for if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if not, of my own will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. In other words, I really got caught. Whether I'm waiting or I'm not waiting, I have to do it. I have no choice. By this one word, he covers 2 points. He covers God's commission to him. And he covers his burden.
Francis, this portion touches really both of the key points in chapter 9, Paul's purity and his motive. And let's talk about that for just a minute before we pick up this matter of faithfulness. So let's talk about the purity first. Purity is not clearly understood, I think, by a lot of people. Purity really means there's just one element here, doesn't it?
That's right. It doesn't mean like in a moral sense. It really is just single-hearted, single-minded. Purity without any distracting element in his motive. His motive is absolutely pure in dealing with these Corinthians, and his words are so pure that they also deal with us as we read them.
Right.
Because he doesn't have any motive for anything for himself, but absolutely for the Lord. Paul was that kind of person. His purity has made it possible for him to speak of himself in such a way as to be a pattern that we could also be pure in our motive, in our desire to serve the Lord.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is a very cutting kind of word. I liked his analogy of a surgeon. Before a surgeon would dare to get out his knife and begin to cut on the patient, he has to be absolutely clean, doesn't he? Or there's going to be a contamination. And the danger of a spiritual contamination, if Paul were really not this kind of person, for him to speak such a word, it would have probably destroyed his whole ministry, wouldn't it?
Yes. It would have turned the whole thing upside down, that he was for himself and not for the Lord's purpose. But Paul's absoluteness and his purity in his dealing with others was the safeguard for all the Corinthians, for us today, and also gave him such boldness in being able to speak to others.
Then he comes to this matter of this charge, this burden, this stewardship related to his bringing forth the gospel in all of its rich components, not just, as you said earlier, being saved by grace, certainly important and included, but the full gospel that he brought forth and preached. Verse 16 says, if I preach not the gospel, I have no boast, for necessity is laid on me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Then he said, if I do it of my own will, I have a reward. But if I don't have the will, I've still been entrusted with this stewardship.
Mm-hmm. Paul felt very obligated, I would say, to the commission that he had from the Lord and to the truth that he saw. He was given to it fully so that he would not compromise in anything. He was not self-seeking or trying to make a name for himself. He actually said, I don't care what you think of me. I have a gospel commissioned to me, and I have to speak it in its entirety. There was a time when there was a big campaign in the convention center, or I believe it was even at the stadium, and they had a sign up, we follow Christ, not Paul. Uh-huh. That was a big mistake, because the 14 epistles of Paul are pure epistles presenting the gospel of Christ in its totality, in its full aspect. And I'm afraid many people have been cheated because they have ignored or not properly evaluated Paul's preaching. and Paul's epistles. So this is a real opportunity for us to see Paul's preaching was not himself, but was Christ Jesus as Lord.
Boy, that has been so evident, I think, in this life study. Maybe this is the outstanding feature I think we may be seeing in the book of 1 Corinthians, and that is the degree to which Paul really had one living with Christ, to the point that even, as we saw a few messages ago, his opinions, although Paul said, this isn't the Lord's word, this is my word, but yet here it is, it's all God's word.
Yeah, right.
Meaning the Lord allows him to express the Lord's feeling through Paul's opinion. So this is a person who really was living one life with Christ, wasn't he?
Because he was that pure, he was able to speak the things in an absolute surgical way.
Paul comes now in chapter 9 to an analogy that he used on a few occasions, and that is running the race. In verse 23, he says, "And I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know that those who run on a race course all run, but one receives the prize? Run in this way, that you may lay hold." Strong, encouraging words from this person of pure motive and faithful service. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
"I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it." Fellow partaker. This is a rich word. The Greek means joint participant, co-partner. You know, a partaker is an enjoyer. With the gospel, you and I, we all have to preach. To preach is to labor, right? Yet, you have to realize, in your preaching of the gospel, there is a share for you, a portion for your enjoyment. To preach the gospel is not only a kind of labor, but it is also a kind of enjoyment. Then we go on, verse 24. "Do you not know that those who run in a race course all run?" To run is to labor. "But one receives the prize." To receive the prize is to enjoy. Can you see this? Yeah. To run the race course is to labor. But to receive the prize is what? Is to enjoy. Today we preach the gospel. This is to run the course. And we will receive a reward. And that reward is a prize. And that prize is kind of enjoyment. Not only here, even in Acts 20, verse 24, he says he was running the course of his ministry, preaching the gospel. And he would finish that course, that running, at any cost. Paul considered his preaching of the gospel was a running of the Christian course. And what is the preaching of the gospel? That is to dispense Christ into all the Gentiles. Whosoever will receive your gospel, that proves he is one to the Magog. Then you dispense Christ into them. To dispense Christ into them in this way is to run the Christian course. But sad to say, so many of us wouldn't run this race. We don't run. Paul say, so run. To run until you get a prize. To run that you may get a reward.
Francis, in the beginning of the program, you talked about the kind of gospel that this chapter is really referring to. We just come to it here, and I think it's important. This matter of the gospel Paul was preaching was really the one of dispensing Christ into these Greek and Gentile people, constituting them not just believers, but really initiating them into God's economy. And if we don't have that understanding of the gospel, then in a sense we can say, well, what is the need of me to run? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. It's all done. So really his charge here about running the race doesn't have much impact, does it, if we don't have a full understanding?
I'm afraid some people have limited themselves to the gospel of God's grace, which redeems them from their fallen condition, but without a real emphasis on the fact that this salvation is a dispensing of God Himself in Christ into all these believers. Now, he's addressing here our believers, even in the church in Corinth. They have been believers for some time.
Right.
And he's the one that preached them initially, and he's the one also coming back to dispense Christ into them for further salvation. I hope that we could realize that salvation is something more than just getting redeemed, getting rescued out of the guilt of our sin and the condemnation and going to the lake of fire. Being saved is an ongoing process of the dispensing of Christ into people. So when Paul talks about preaching the gospel here and laboring to preach the gospel and running a race and charging them to do the same, he's really talking about dispensing of Christ in his speaking into people, even the believers. They need the dispensing of Christ into them continually for them to go on and to obtain what God has destined for them, to really fulfill God's economy. God's economy is that God wants to put himself into man, to make man the same as he is in life and in nature, but of course not in the Godhead. So this economy includes salvation in its fullest and deepest and far-reaching meaning.
Not just obtaining an eternal destination that has been secured, which that is obviously and absolutely part of this gospel, but the day-by-day salvation that you mentioned. And we really see demonstrated in Paul's life to live one with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. To live one spirit with Christ. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. These are things that affect our daily living, not just our eternal destiny, aren't they?
Yes, that's the real message that's in Paul's epistles, to take us all the way to receive the reward. You know, he talks about getting a reward. If he preaches the gospel of his own will, he receives a reward. And it goes on to make it clear that this reward is an enjoyment. And I've experienced when I preach the gospel in a faithful way,
right,
then I do receive a reward of enjoyment. And ultimately, that enjoyment is to be in the kingdom.
Francis, in the verse we read a moment ago, Paul transferred this charge to us to make all of us those who were running in the race. Now, in these coming two verses, he turns the focus back to himself. Verse 26 and 7 say, I therefore run in this way, not as though without a clear aim. I box in this way, not as though beating the air, but I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest perhaps having preached to others, I myself may become disapproved. Here's Witness Lee once more.
In verse 24, he charged the Corinthians to run. Now, 26, he turned back to himself. I, therefore, so run. I charge you to so run. Now, I tell you, I am so running. I, therefore, so run, not as uncertainly. And so I box, not as beating the air. Very, very meaningful. I have a target. I have a direction. But, verse 27, I buffet my body. This phrase here, this is not to ill-treat the body as in asceticism, nor to consider the body evil as in Gnosticism. This is to subdue the body and make it a conquered captive, to serve us as a slave for fulfilling our holy purpose. Your eyes like to read a magazine. Your eyes do not like to read the Bible. For what would you do? Buffet your eyes.
Amen.
Put on the bridle on your eyes, just like on the horse. And then turn the eyes, subdue the eyes from the magazine to the Bible for the fulfilling of our holy purpose. This is equivalent to putting to death our earthly members in Colossians 3:5 and putting to death the practices of the body in Romans 8:13. This is not allowing. Not allowing our body to be used for the indulgence of lust. By this, you can see what Paul did with his body. I buffet my body and lead it as a slave. Who is the vanquished? The body. Who is the captive? The body. To have your body for the temple of the Holy Spirit. To have your body for the member of Christ. This is your purpose. But you have to subdue your body. To vanquish your body. To rescue your body from the usurping lusts. It's very meaningful. Paul practiced this.
Francis, another strong word here. I think it's important to understand what Paul is saying and what he's not saying in this matter of buffeting the body. For centuries, there has been a religious practice that's become known as asceticism. That is where the, you know, laying on beds of nails and things like this, abusing the body, have been equated with spirituality. That's not what he's talking about here, is it?
No, not at all. It's not a matter of mistreating the body because you have a concept that it's evil. Actually, we've already seen in this epistle that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We should take care of our body, not abuse it. But neither should we let the lusts of our body control us. So he's talking about buffeting all the desires of the body that are against God being dispensed into us. But by Paul's preaching, he is dispensing Christ into people, and he has experienced this dispensing in himself. So in order to have that kind of experience, he would not be under the control of the body, but he would lead his body as a slave, making it obey what he knows of Christ in his spirit. So if we could learn this lesson, I think we would be a marvelous asset to the body of Christ, that we would be able to not be controlled by the outward things of our body, a lust of our body in any way, but we would be willing to buffet our body and lead it as a slave. He says buffet it, that means to beat it under the eye to it's bruised. It doesn't mean that physically we do this, but really it's a matter of being crucified with Christ and living by Christ in resurrection. So this is what Paul is really preaching. He's to give us the full story of our salvation, not only for our redemption and for being rescued from hell, but for being prepared as the members of the body of Christ to be filled with Christ in our spirit and to be the ones who preach this gospel to all those among us.
Mm. I've come to really appreciate and love this book. It's a book that I think very few Christians really love because I think for the most part we don't really understand it.
Right.
There's points and isolated things that we may pick up here and there, but it's really a very biographical sketch of this brother, the Apostle Paul, who was living out all of the things that he talked about in many of his other so-called great epistles, all of these great teachings and doctrines. You know, he just referred to Romans chapter 8 and Colossians 3, talking about putting to death the lusts of the flesh and our members. But yet, 1 Corinthians demonstrates what that really is and what it's not. And we don't see a person living in asceticism and that kind of false spirituality. We see a very real, normal person, but one who is living Christ and living the death of Christ and living the resurrection of Christ.
Yes, this is a person that we see here, and he becomes a pattern for us to follow. He says, I so run, you also run, that you may receive the prize.
So to dismiss Paul is to do so at our own spiritual peril, isn't it,
Francis? That's right.
Francis, always a pleasure and enjoyment to have you here. Thank you, and hope you'll come back soon.
I would love to.
Well, our time is up. We'd like to leave you with an invitation for you to contact us. We give you a toll-free number to do so, and you can find out about receiving the printed life study messages and the other materials we have to offer at Living Stream Ministry. Please call us toll-free 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. We'll return tomorrow. We continue this life study of 1 Corinthians. For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wyatt. Thank you very much for listening.
Witness Lee's remarkable commentary on the life of Abraham, taken from the life study of Genesis, is now available from Living Stream Ministry in a single volume entitled Abraham Called by God. Abraham Called by God by Witness Lee is available at Christian bookstores everywhere, or you can order by calling 1-888-543-3788. That's 1-888-543-3788.